So, what was that all about? I can tell you with all honesty that I don't know. That I, in a way, don't have a clue. That my mind does not comprehend what we're doing here. That this strange ballet of movement is not something I understand on any level or that I am directive of, but it has a emotional source, a feeling source, that has something to do with love and guidance and connection. And it wants, it has a want to love you, connect with you, speak with you, guide you, and offer itself to you. And it is very grateful to you for presenting yourself to the possibility of hearing something that makes no sense, of actually paying attention to something that is, as Rudy might have called it, energetic. Energetic in a way that is not just energy like electricity. It is full-blown life energy, this thing called being alive. And this being alive thing that we are all somehow connected to in ways that we cannot and will not ever understand is so rich in possibilities, so diverse, so vast in its manifestation, that the only way to manipulate ourselves, to walk through the world with any kind of consciousness and clarity, is to attune to this unknowable quality of directiveness. It's to serve this deeper thing in us that guides us through the experience of love and commitment and attachment, and announces itself to us through kindness and generosity and gratitude. It is what we can call an uplifting force, but it also has the enormous power of dropping the bottom out and ending us in states of nothingness, pure, terrifying nothingness. I can only tell you it or they know what it or they are doing. It's a matter of faith and trust that we are engaged in this journey into the unknown, which luckily looks familiar day by day. This thing around us looks very familiar, and we are very comforted by it, mostly. Occasionally challenged by it. It has a kind of capacity for generally slow motion change, occasionally rapid change, which we don't like, but it tends to move in a knowable way, and it is a kind of fascinating, endlessly captivating journey. Again, we call it life. We arrive in it temporarily. We explore it with great fascination and sometimes fear and sometimes hesitation, and then we leave it. Its temporary nature also has within it, because of its temporary nature, an element that we call suffering, partly because we leave it, people we love leave it, things we have go away, things we want to keep cannot be kept. Everything we take as treasurable, lovable, holdable, is not ours and will not remain. Suffering. Suffering is the loss of our stuff, things we care about, including things like knowledge, the mind, the mere reality of breathing. Much of life is trying to build up a narrative or a picture or an idea of what this is. A lot of people arrive at that. Often they arrive at it through other people telling them, this is what it is. You go, oh, okay. Some people go, what? Whatever they're told this is doesn't hold up. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't last. It keeps changing in some way. People experiencing tragedy don't believe anything that people tell them. People experiencing the mundane nature of the day-to-day can't quite see purpose or what's involved, what's in all this. And what I've come to really understand is that we are each on a deeply and profoundly unique path. My information can perhaps give you some inclination to what my path is, and some little pieces of it will sort of illuminate elements of your path, but they are not the same path in terms of the world, in terms of how to get through the world, how to live this mysterious thing that we're in. How do we navigate the day by day? Most of us are very focused on our own personal hungers, needs, fears, obsessions, what we want. Most of us sort of want stuff from life itself, like commitment, companionship, love, food, air, not to suffer, warmth, housing, all those things. We all want that. And we're all communal in that regard. But we all want different things out of it. We want it in a different ways. And trying to find similarity is kind of what leads us into relationship. When we find people who want sort of the same things we want, we go, oh, okay, be my friend. We'll walk through this life together until they don't want the same thing you want and you diverge. And there you are back on your own. But the truth is, we are all on our own. That's the big truth. We are really on our own. We have moments of extraordinary bonding with others. This exquisite thing called family. Exquisite for some people, not for others. Community. Partnership. Really, really help us. But they're very temporary, unfortunately. And in the end, it is totally in your hands. This whole journey is in your hands. It's to be understood on your terms. It's to be lived on your terms. It's to be grasped and let go of on your terms. And if you are not owning that responsibility, you will suffer. Because you will be lost. That's the flotsam and jetsam of life, just banging up against the shore, one bank's river bank after another, boom, 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 as you go through life. And then finally, I guess, you enter the big sea. But while we're on that journey, while we're on this journey of life, the thing we need more than anything, more than each other and comfort and compassion and all those wonderful things, we need to know, how do I do this? How do I manage the next step? And this is where I go back to the pattern that I've used now for decades. The navigation system, the directives you need for you specifically are right inside. You were born with them. They will tell you how to live your life, and they will explain life to you on the terms that you alone will understand. You may be able to share it with people through art, through some kind of universal language, music. But knowing what this is and how to move through it, you have to find your directive, your instruction manual. How do I make it through this deeply unknowable, often familiar, often something looking like other people's stuff, but really deeply personally yours? And the only way to do it is to find the way to that spot which is both uniquely yours and ultimately truly the universal awareness. And it happens to live inside you. You were born with it. You have it. It's your essence. And the only way to get to it is, one, to try. It begins with sitting still. And then it involves what Rudy called a practice. A practice is sitting still every day. Learning how to find my way into this guidance system, if you want to call it that, comfort zone, restorative zone, loving space, basically your heart. It's not limited to going in the heart. It's got all these other entry points that are very valuable. Again, I reference them almost every week. But the heart chakra is the doorway. And it's the old adage, I speak it regularly and I'm not alone, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, ask and you shall receive. This is that space. If you practice, which means not once a month or once a year or on your deathbed, but you really sit there and you make this effort to go in here, it is rewarded by something wonderful saying, hi, waiting for you, come on in, come on in. It's so familiar, it's your own voice. Whose else would it be? And it loves you, it loves you. And it opens to you, and it takes you in, and it provides extraordinary comfort. And it also kind of tells you what to do and how to do it at any given moment, almost second by second. Those of you who sit in this class and watch what's becoming more and more extreme, which is these sort of bodily movements of my hands, mudra work as it's really referred to, I think, in Buddhist circles, my hands are following this strange, bizarre directive. It is completely directed inside. If it tells me, instructs me to move in a certain way, the reward of moving in that way is enormous satisfaction, a sense of musical chords being struck that are really like, da 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 da, and you know you're there. And when you work with another person, it tells you how to enter into their still point, how to find the problem area of another person, because this is energetic, and fix it. It's the strangest thing I have ever witnessed, and I have never watched myself doing it, but I know I am following second to second to second a directive. Because I'm following this directive, I know that it is available not only to me, but to each of you. And this directive is second by second. It's telling you all the time, this way, put the milk away, pick up a piece of paper up, kiss your cousin, call someone. It's a constant, it's a directive that is so simple and wise. Write that email. Don't write that email. Take a nap. Don't eat three ice cream cones. It has real wisdom, and it's so smart. And the thing that's so powerful is that it always knows the right thing. if you are not at war with this, if you are not in a battle zone, if you are not trying to do it on your own, forget all that, just live your life, okay. But you will find, once you enter into this inner space, that you have a friend, if you will, that happens to be you, but it's your friend. And it's there to make it work and to get you down the road and to prepare you for the massive endpoint of this journey, which is learning to let go of everything. And those of you who don't learn how to let go of everything, according to Buddhist tradition, will get a chance to come back and learn it again. You will have a life upon life upon life of learning how to listen to this simple, quiet, knowing voice. It may not explain the universe to you because their brain cannot hold that knowledge, but it will tell you, do this, do that, be a nice person, love someone, open your heart, kiss them goodnight. Whatever it is, you pay attention and your life has a strange harmonic dance that feels really good, and you keep getting it and getting it and getting it. You understand at every given moment why you are where you are, why you are in the situation you're in, how it is that this moment came to be. You may go, what am I doing here? And you get really quiet and it will show you what you're doing there. It will tell you to reach out to this person, say this to that person, be open, be available, don't say a word. Whatever it is, you will be guided through this journey. And as you get old, like I have and Blanche has, we are starting to see where this is leading and why it's so important. Because practice is for a reason. You don't practice and practice not to go and play the game. You don't practice and practice just for the sake of practice. Practice has a goal. And the goal really in this life partly is how to live it, but it's also how to leave it. This letting go phenomenon is so central because as they start to take it away, which they will, and I'm now around all of my old relatives, we had dinner last night, you know, they come in on walkers, you know, their brains are going, their minds, I mean, everything is happening to all of my family who I love deeply. But boy, oh boy, do I watch the difference between paying attention to the guide and being without a guide, being aimless in this. It's not the way you want necessarily to go. And the reality is, if you have this centrality of awareness and this guide-like force carrying you day by day, it really helps you. It really helps you live. And it allows you to begin to help other people do the same thing in a way just by being present with them consciously. If you're conscious with people and you are in their presence, they will, not knowing how or why, but they will feel this thing come around them and it will be very comfortable. I was experiencing it at this dinner we had last night with lots of my family. The power of DNA, the power of coming from the same root system, and how joyful is kind of the right word, but it has crazy moments, as you can imagine, and old dialogues and old family tropes and crazy things happening. But there's a sense that we know each other. We are part of the tribe. We are part of something collective. When you go deep into the root system of presence and you are with other people, they will feel connected in the DNA sense to you, not to your private family, but to your global universal family. You will feel this enormous connection with other human beings, and they will feel it with you, and you will feel this comfort of we know each other. We are on this shared journey, which is beyond anything we can understand. I mean, I really watch people trying to hold on to it intellectually, trying to make sense of life. Mostly what they do is they just play it out day by day. They know it's on the TV, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, they turn on the TV, and I'm watching this so clearly. People turn on the TV in the morning, it's on all day. people who are distracted through the whole day, who have no moment of reflection, no moment of caring about what this is. It's like, this is what it is. Well, that's not really true. I mean, this is what it is, but oh my God, this is unnameable, God-filled, God-created existence. It is so massive, so wondrous, so purposeful, so beyond our capacity for understanding and meaning, and yet so alive in the simplest sense that right here something goes, it's okay, it's okay. And you just journey through this vastness. And I cannot tell you how big that vastness is. Some of you know, some of you don't know, but it's a little bit. I keep thinking sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset is fine if you're on the earth. If you're not on the earth, sunrise, sunset is like a meaningless idea. The sun doesn't come up and it doesn't go down. You are in a permanent state of something else. Maybe over there there's a little sunset, sunrise, sunset, sunrise. But when you're expanding your awareness and your consciousness, you no longer live totally on the planet. You are experiencing otherness, biggerness. You're experiencing billions of sunrises and sunsets and darkness beyond belief. And I have to add, because I'm going through a very bizarre time, there are moments where the bottom totally drops out and nothing but fear and panic and terror are there. Nothing. And I will tell you, if you ever want a reason to do this work and to have this practice, it's so that as you're falling through time and space and meaninglessness and powerlessness and the fear of crashing, and you go, thy will be done, suddenly nothing is rushing past you, you are floating. And the panic goes away. You have this central place in you that is, even when you're in your worst of worst moments, available. Sometimes it says, just wait. It doesn't deliver instantly. And you have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And Rudy said, and you've all heard this, I think, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, even though I'll be shitting in my pants every step of the way. That is how it works. And you have to be willing to take shits along the way. And you have to be willing to go, I don't have a clue, I don't know how it's done. And you have to keep moving until suddenly the wave action of time and space and being and non-being and whatever is out there realigns, and there you are. And not only are you're there having just survived the worst calamity imaginable, and that's powerful. Knowing that there is this endless redemptive you, this being, this place of being that will always, always be present. And it takes trust and faith and the experience of going through loss to come back over and over again to this DNA of collective knowing that we're okay, that we are this family of something. I say all this because we're surrounded by a world clearly about to go through massive change and transformation. And My relatives yesterday are all talking about me as the voice of death and doom. And I may well be that on some level. And I'll cop to that idea that I definitely have seen death at the core of this experience from day one, since I was a kid. And I have somehow said to myself, I hope this is true, that it's by knowing death is there that life becomes real and meaningful. Maybe a cop-out, but I definitely feel that. I was reminded last night when Y2K was coming, I was researching this movie. I had been researching this movie, a Deep Impact, about the end of the world. And one of the people I had hired as a guide to a person who was a really brilliant, brilliant thinker about future, called me up sometime later and said, forget comets destroying the world, it's going to be Y2K. And I bought into it completely, completely. I became the voice of Y2K, and I not only did I become the voice, I bought another house in upstate New York with 150 acres with water and what I thought was tillable land was really not. But it was a place, and on New Year's Eve of 2000, we gathered 30 of our best friends and relatives of the time who were willing to be there, and we all slept in this really nice house that we bought. And in the morning we woke up and nothing happened. Except I had the most beautiful house. I was surrounded by 30 people that I loved deeply. I thought that I had found heaven. And the Y2K and the pursuit of the fear of death had brought me into a deeper form of life. I don't know if that's a good metaphor or not, but I do know we're living in a very, what feels like a dark time. Maybe it will turn into brilliance and light and it will be wonderful. But we are going to be surrounded by a lot of anxiety and a lot of people around us who are not sure how to move forward and who have not found any kind of guidance system, who turn on the TV for guidance, who go to their friends for guidance, and nobody's giving them the right answers. Each of you is qualified to find this simple space in yourself and use it to help you and anyone and everyone around you. I'm not sure it means you should start teaching class, and I kind of think that still has to be something between us. But you can become a voice of calm, serene, open, honest exchange with other people. You don't have to pretend that you're fine and that the world's situation isn't somehow closing in on you, but you can find your way through it in a way that will, I think, inspire and help other people in their journey. And we will all rise together through this community of knowing something, maybe not knowing what it is, but knowing something that assures you that you can make the next step and the next step. And when the bottom drops out and you feel terror and panic, hang in there, because the new ground arises. It really does, over and over. I guess you need enough times for it to drop away for you to discover and trust it will come back. But in my experience so far, it keeps coming back. I don't want to tell you this journey is a journey of pure sweetness and joy and light. I do not know what to make of people who teach endless bliss. I think it's a great line. And if you find somebody who can literally give that to you, I think I say this every week, go to that person. Go to people who can give it to you. But I don't think anyone gives you anything. I think it's already there. You can find it in yourself. I don't know about endless exactly, but I know it's retrievable. I know that it appears when you need it. How this will all play out in the end, we'll find out, each one of us, how we go on this journey. It's a singular journey, so we can connect once in a while together in a group and share this, but mostly we're on our own. Do the work, do the practice, relate to this energy inside yourself, find this doorway that opens and takes you in and tells you you're okay, you're okay. It's like family, it's DNA, it loves, loves, loves you. It truly does. So, you know, I'm getting to be, I think, horribly repetitive in everything I'm saying. And I, if you all think you have it and you get it, there's no reason to have to drive all the way to Pasadena or fly to New York or go anywhere. But the nice thing about satsang, about people coming together in this particular affirmation of human existence, if you're still looking for that, and I am, then we should gather. We should just gather and share this, because I don't know where else it's happening as consciously as it happens here. There are churches and synagogues and temples and mosques where people get together. I remember vividly going to those things and everyone was saying, oh, look what she's wearing. Oh, look, oh, she's, oh, that's a beautiful dress. And that's, I would walk away with it, a fashion show, and I would, that it did not take care of my inner need. And I didn't like sitting down and standing up and sitting down and standing up and doing all these weird things. And I find this work is very quiet and very still. You don't have to do much. I do talk about taking a breath and asking for help to surrender, opening your heart, opening your gut. So there's some work to be done. But I'm telling you, if you sit still and you're just open, don't do anything. Just sit still. Just feel it. And then if you really get good at it, go for long walks. And you will feel this thing happening. Get in the car and drive. Go to a party and just talk to people. You know, sit back. Watch TV and feel this thing alive. It doesn't have to shut off just because you're watching TV. Just let it be, and it will fill you and fill you and fill you. And if you can come together in collective ways and just reinforce this unbelievable sweetness of having a family of people who know this is real, that's a beautiful, beautiful gift in this world. And I will maintain in any way I can my effort to be present in this. I do give my talks. I hate getting on an airplane now and flying anywhere, but I will try as best I can to maintain some sort of continuity by coming here and sitting down with you all. But I know it's not going to be as often as what we used to have. And so come together yourselves, share this with each other, be present, and know that this is really, really nurturing. It's really good for you. It's like a plant getting watered. It's so helpful. Don't deny it. On the other hand, if you're really good at watering yourself, go with that. Go with it. Final words. And I don't know who I am. I honestly don't know who I am. But I love you. I truly, 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 one-on-one and as a group, love you. I care about you. I care about your journey. I care about you finding your way. And I am endlessly available if you need me to tell you that I love you. So feel free to make overtures and reach out and say hi, and I need you. You're welcome to come to my house in New York. It's a big journey, but you're welcome. And I will try to come here. And the love, honestly, it's nice to push it through the space and share it and circulate it around the room. But whatever it is that I feel for you is already in you. And you don't need it from me. You just need to go here and it will take care of you. It will take care of you. It has taken care of you. It will continue. You are loved. The end. So because it's hard to have one-on-ones with everybody in this situation, anyone who's fearless enough to want to talk about anything honestly, about if they have questions or needs, let me know.
Yeah, I have a question. It might be appropriate to share it with the group in case somebody else is going through the same thing. I still have attachments to things that are gone. But beyond that, I have attachments to the things that I didn't do that I should have, and to the things that I did that I shouldn't have. And I keep trying, you know, do I shove them under the rug? Do I simply have the discipline to not bite the hook? Because that's a bright and shiny hook, and it takes me right back to Catholic guilt and examining your conscience. And all that childhood conditioning.
This practice is the way out of that. It is really the way out of it. It's self-forgiving. It looks at you and goes, you could not have done otherwise. And you finally just go, oh. And you just let it go. You can reinforce it if you want, but look at the thing that's trying to do that. It's mental, it's mind. I mean, there is a sort of a war zone, unfortunately, in the human condition, and it has to do between the heart and the mind, and we've always heard about that. The mind is this computerized thought thing that basically helps guide us through the complexities of the world. It is not the best guide. The best guide is this, really. And the perfect guide is this in consort with a clear seeing mind. It's really third eye. If you want to work on a space, third eye space starts to see clearly. It is not myopic, just like me. It's like world, time, space, continuum. It's the whole thing. You start to see things differently. You will realize, I think, at some point, it can only understand up to a certain point, and then it doesn't have the brain power or the memory to go beyond. So you understand its limitations. It's like your phone cannot tell you the history of the human race. Even if you go into Safari, there's only so far it can go before it's got limitations. We cannot use this for real guidance. You can use this. Why the mind attacks us? There's so much to do with program. You know, I watch mothers and fathers and children, especially the last few days, and I'm watching all the different kinds of programming. And boy, oh boy, stuff that's laid on children is really heavy. And children get terrible mixed messages, conflicts that are unresolved from the parental side of things, from other people, teachers, so many things that you get laid on with all of this complexity and you don't know how to navigate it. What you're really trying to look for in the middle of all of that is, do you still love me? Do you still recognize me? Do you still like me? And if you get that, you're going to feel okay. That will guide you. But mostly we suffer because the mind can't find peace, it can't find clarity, it can't find how to organize the vastness of infinite time and space continuum existence. It's really hard. This is the organizing principle right here. This is not. This will guide you. I have this trip here today and I'm supposed to see all these people. I can't see everybody. And I started having guilts about not being able to see everybody. So I started writing notes to people saying, I'm sorry, I cannot. I announced my guilt out loud in a way that freed me of carrying it. So I went, so now I am not walking around thinking how bad a person I am because I couldn't see the number of people who reached out and said, can I see you? And the slate's clean. This cleans the slate every day if you wanted to. You go in, it really knows you. And it just goes, you couldn't have helped it. Especially stuff when you were little. You could not have helped it. All you have to do is go, okay, thank you. And it goes away, and it goes away, and it goes away. And ultimately, you have this incredible ability, which I've talked about a lot, I think, recently, which is go, nope, when the thought comes up. Nope. You can just go, nope. If you don't go, nope, it comes in, and it comes in really fast. And I will tell you, in the journey into death and beyond the body, that's when all this stuff comes to attack. Because as you start to go out of life, mind is doing a crazy number on you. And what happens with most people, in the Tibetan sense, that you enter bardo states, which are these things of unfinished business or done wrong and all this stuff, and it's hellish. It's really hellish. Because you are caught, and I mean really caught. Ah, we gotcha. It's like that. It's really like that. You have to go, nope. And how do you learn to go, nope, nope, nope? Practice. If you practice surrender, letting go, that's what you're practicing. You're not giving into these old templates that really have no purpose other than the fact that you remake them on a daily basis. You don't have to do that. This is consciousness at work. It goes in and it goes, no.
So on one side, the remorse could be mental complexes, but on the other side, it could be the heart burning off the places where you were acting in ways that were not listening to the heart and helping to process that karma so it comes back into heart. As the heart opens up more and more, those things that were not in alignment with heart become more and more apparent, and to deny them and not to look at them also is to repeat them.
Absolutely right. Yeah, it all comes back. They got to clean the slate. All the stuff you did wrong will rise up, but with a different kind of less punishing, nature. It will show itself to you. If you want to be punished, you can go into punishment mode, or you can just go, okay. And then you do this thing, which is an internal dance where you kind of accept it, you burn with it, because you do burn, and you go, okay, you pay a price, it's redemptive, and it releases itself, and you're freed from it. But it doesn't just disappear like nothing. It's not like it doesn't have consequence. You know, if you did really dastardly things in life, you're going to have to burn through all of what that means in the course of that life, or many lives perhaps, because some of that stuff is so wedded in and so dense and so dark, and it really is painful. And the problem, of course, for most people is they're so afraid of it that they build life upon life to avoid the thing they did 20 lifetimes ago, and then it's worse and worse. We are very complicated characters, but the possibility of sitting down in this lifetime with this technique, and plus there must be a million other techniques, but I've been having to work with this one for this amount of time. Rudy, whose samadhi was just 2 days ago, who's passing from the world, remains an absolute constant with me in my heart. And he taught me how to do this, and I share it because it seems so worth sharing. It's the work of undoing all the done stuff over the course of lifetimes, if that's how it works. I don't guarantee that's how it works, but it feels like it probably does. You have to go in and do this work, and it's hard and it's painful, but if you don't get the strength and the courage to burn consciously, you're not going to do it. Burning consciously, here I'm going through a period of real burning, and I have to tell you, it is not fun. It is the most uncomfortable thing I have ever gone through, but nothing in me is saying no. I get it. I'm at the end of my life. They are taking what I call the shadowy stuff, and they are, but to burn the shadowy stuff, it doesn't stay in the shadow. It gets really light, and you go, oh my God, that's me. That's part of that's you, you. It's really humiliating. On the other hand, they burn it, and it's like fire, and it's unpleasant, and it is burned. And then there you are. And you go, oh. And you feel what I call a little bit lighter, because you're not holding for that weight. And that little bit of light can be called enlightenment, but it feels like a release, and you feel more whole. If we are on this journey to absolute whatever it is, awareness and upliftment, you gotta drop the weight. It's gotta happen. And if we're on that journey, and most people in this room believe that or they wouldn't be here, this is where one does it. And it's helped. This room helps, because I have to say, whatever it is I am doing is going right into the core of some of your most hidden secret stuff, and it's going, it's getting, or just, sometimes it just taps it. It goes, whoop, and it goes, gone. But it's been held in place for so long, and this, I don't know where this technique comes from, and I it looks weird to me, but I have no right to say no to it. So I'm just doing it. If it looks too weird, go to places where it doesn't look weird. But I'm really trying to help everybody deal with some of the unseen stuff, and the universe is helping me deal with my unseen stuff. And all together, there's a rising up that is going to be, and is already in my mind, exquisitely beautiful. Exquisitely beautiful. And there is fire, and you do have to deal with it. And if you've done bad things, guys, you gotta undo it. You just have to, one way or the other. Just say, I'm sorry to people.
Just something to add to this topic very quickly. Something kind of different happened for me in class today, which was I really felt myself move into some places of shame, of guilt, of all these things we're discussing. But your words when you sat down and remind us the big thing is to show up. So I was like, okay, let's show up with all of this. Let's have all this show up. That was quite interesting and beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you, the wonder of that is I get to see that and hug it. I don't judge you at all. It's your shame. I just go in and go, it's okay.
The other thing that arose in my projection onto you was, I can trust this. Trust. So that trust was that hug, I guess.
I see everybody's shit, You know, and I'm a wastebasket. I just, I don't judge it for anything. It doesn't smell terrible, and if it does, it doesn't matter. It just keeps processing, and I'm no different than what Rudy described. But it took me 50 years to get there, and I don't know that I have who he, if Rudy was alive today. I mean, I can't imagine the massiveness of his capacity, and I don't know that I have anything like that. But I do know I'm carrying on the tradition of. I take you whole. I don't take you in part. I don't look at you and go, oh, God, not that part, only this part. It doesn't work that way. It's a total thing. And we all have that. We all have shame. We all have stuff. We all have our hidden psyche. You don't have to show it to every human being, but they know it. They do know it. And they still love you. They. And it's coming, it comes through. I cannot tell you how deeply you are loved. I know that doesn't, it sounds like Oprah Winfrey, but it's real. It's absolutely real. We are all individually profoundly loved. And if you are not in alignment with that love, that's the work. I would love you to love yourselves as deeply as you are already being loved. Open to that. It will change your personality. You won't know yourself in the same terms. I'm getting old, so my memory's going. It's really failing. I can't remember names. I can't remember places. I wake up in the middle of the night in New York, and I go, I have no idea where I am. Not a clue. If it wasn't for the familiarity of the bed and my wife and the dresser, you know, I just wouldn't. I no longer have rootedness. I've described this before. Sorry I keep repeating myself, I think. But at the end of 2001, the guy... the Keir Dulé characters on Jupiter, and he's in a room, and he's just there, and he's just going to die in that room, and you just watch him get older and die in that space. And I feel like I've now found my house, which is Jupiter, and I'm going to be there until it all just disintegrates away. But I watch it happen, and I feel a huge cosmic spiritual godlike forces working. They're so powerful, and they're not personal to me. That nobody here in this room, nobody in this room is less available to that energy, less loved, less massive in their capacity. I am just like Rudy was. I'm a kid from Detroit with no promise of any particular kind, who was given a very big life primarily because I paid attention to this thing. I took chances. I took risks. I moved away from the hearth, the home. I moved into the world and basically took God's hands, or God took my hands, and we went together on this bizarre journey all the way around the world, from all these teachers, the LSD, into the infinite realms of God knows what, and back again, and then coming back and being told, tell people what you saw, and being given opportunities to speak to the world in movies and things like that. I go, what, how did this, what is this? What is this? But the only thing that happens, because they're taking all of that away, I don't have a reference point to myself as having any past history. All I have is I sit down here and I feel whole and I feel lucky that I get to be with myself expressed in this exquisite congregation of beings. I don't know if any of you get that, but the wonder of it is so great, because I see a lot of other lives that don't go in that direction, and it's only because people are not listening to themselves. They're listening to the wrong voices, which is okay, but it just means, you know, that in Red Hook, I teach behind the wheel of birth and death, the Tibetan wheel of birth and death. That's where most people live. Heavens, hells, animal life, insect life, joy, terror, around and around and around. Well, according to the Tibetans and according to my own experience, there is a way off, but not... it's not off exactly. It's, what does it matter? It's all what it is. It's all what it is. It's like not being in reaction to it. It's in service of something massive. I don't know that there's an off button. I think it may be an endless on button. But if you are really surrendered and there's no you fighting it or resisting it or getting angry or wishing it was otherwise, if you're totally in the flow of it, go for it.
Thank you, Bruce. It's interesting, at the beginning of meditation, this 12-step tradition prayer kept coming up for me, which was like, well, leave me in the bondage of self to stop anything that gets between me and serving your will and being of service to others. And it kept just going through me, and you know, I went with the reference of open your gas tank. I was like, cool, I already opened my gas tank. And then what you didn't say is there's about 20,000 other gas tanks underneath that kept being asked to open, and some were like, well, you know, I'm open to being open, but maybe not this open, and then they would continue to open until there was like that infinite point that you talked about, and there was no identity to have other than an experience, I guess, without words. But then at some point there was this pinwheel, I suppose, of color that I felt like I was, but I wasn't moving, and you became the wind, the source of the wind that started spinning it, and I got to experience it both as the observer and the pinwheel, and that's when the tears just started coming. And I guess for me, the classes is just that. It reminds me of that inner wind, and so I'm grateful for you.
Your gratitude shows all the time. It's really beautiful. I'm really grateful. I love you so much. It's a real thing. I started talking last week about this thing. I know this is going on, and anybody wants to go home, go home. Life is so different than what we imagine it to be. It's so other, and I'm starting to get a picture of it. And I talked about it last week, and I'll reference it again in a moment. But it's about life is moments emerging with profound depth that are woven together with sort of a connective tissue, but they emerge and then they're gone. And they keep happening, and they start to become what I realize is life itself. It is not happening in a time or a place or in space, it's just happening. It's so not containable by anything our mind understands. It makes no sense in the biological, physiological, materialistic world. But it is using all of that to create these things that we call, or this thing that we call life. It is snapshots, it's moments that have such depth, such profound, ironic feeling and possibility and concept and disappointment and achievement and these little things, and they all cohere after time, and we call that our life. It's all happening in a space that has no definition. It's not Earth, it's not solar system, it's not galactic, it's just emptiness. And in that emptiness, these firings of unbelievable experience happen. Love, hatred, fear, drama, cohesion, all these things keep happening and then fall away. And they keep happening. And something, the mind, I guess, weaves them together into a narrative that we call us. But it's not us. The us is this incredible space in which we, the thing of we, emerges. And every one of us has a different we that emerges, but they're all part of the same larger thing. And whatever that is, it's really amazing and wonderful and incredible and scary and remarkable. And we are the very essence of it, but we're also empty, completely empty of time, space, and matter. It creates almost within a second brick and mantle and things, and they all have these incredible histories that come into being both in time and in space, and then also just in that moment. I don't want to sound totally crazy here, but all I can tell you, don't think you understand what life is. You do not understand what life is. You cannot understand it. It is simply happening. It is happening. How and why, I don't know. And you are the space, the witness, the knower, that which is, and you are that which is happening and that which will never happen and that which might have happened. You are all of this and everything beyond that, and you are empty as can be. And at the source is something, maybe if it's not total nothingness, it's love. That's it. Love, truth, beauty. That's you, that's who you are. That's the totality. And to get to that point of knowing that, and not that you'll know it, but you will know it. It's like, there's almost nothing to say, although I wish I would stop talking. It's just for you to try to know this practice is worth it, and that's all, that's it. Again, I'll answer more questions if you want, but I think, I don't know what more to say. Okay? If you need to talk to me privately, please do. Thank you for coming.